You're listening to DottoTech, helping you get the most out of your technology wherever you use it, at home, at school, or at work. Brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. 20 years, the trusted voice of technology in Canada, Steve Dotto.
Hello and welcome to DottoTech. I'm Steve Dotto and we are glad you're joining us this evening. And we are joining you from pretty much spread all over Canada. I am sitting in Toronto where I have been for the all day for the launch of the big launch of BlackBerry 10, the new operating system from the company formerly known as RIM, which we'll talk about in a few moments. So I've assembled an illustrious panel across the country. In Richmond, B.C. is Paul DeMero, my mobility go-to guy. And in Saskatchewan, we have Julian Saunders, technology consultant and computer guy at London Drugs. And London Drugs, big supporter of RIM and BlackBerry 10. So we've got this good group together. We've all looked at the launch from different perspectives. And, of course, in Vancouver, we also have Art Factora, my producer, who just invested in an iPhone and is now wondering whether or not that was a good idea. So first of all, Art, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. This is quite the crack team you got here. This is the A team. I feel like I'm B.A. Baracus.
Yeah. Now, are you a little nervous about having me in Toronto and you there as we do this show today?
No, absolutely not. I have full and utter confidence that this is going to be one of our best shows of January. The second half of January.
Yeah, I think it could be the best show we do this week. I'll give it that.
Wow, that's lofty.
We've got some pretty good content to do today. Now, did you, just out of curiosity, as a newfound Apple fanboy, did you follow the BlackBerry announcement at all?
Yeah, I was I filled in on the morning show on the FM music side, Virgin, and they've been talking about it all morning. I saw there were some leaked pictures a couple days ago that I saw, and it looks very sleek. I got to say that. And the biggest thing that I was not, there was no need for me to get a BlackBerry. iPhone was everything that I've looked and been interested in the last couple of years before I got it. I don't want a keyboard like that. It just didn't appeal to me. So that's the only thing that people who, the BlackBerry, is the only thing I ever felt that there was the one thing they didn't want to switch over to iPhone because of that keyboard.
Yeah, and the keyboard, and they did announce the keyboard enhanced version. It's not going to be available right away, but it looks pretty good, and it got a lot of oohs and ahs from the audience. So let's go right to Paul DeMero, though, and who has witnessed in his long and illustrious career in mobility dozens and dozens of product launches. So where does BlackBerry 10 rank in your product launch experience, Paul?
Impressive. I think they've done a great job of putting things together to look after what the market is looking for. And I'm actually, you know, really glad they waited so they did it right, because we know that with the tablet they launched, a little over a year ago or whatever, 2 years now, it didn't go as well as they'd hoped. I think this is going to be a milestone for them.
Yeah, absolutely. It was. What was interesting, Julian, did you notice that in the launch, they did not talk at all about specs of the phones?
It was all about the culture. It was quite refreshing not to dive right into the tech, more into the using it. It's always more important how it holds and feels and some of the features and how easy it is to switch between will really be a key distinguisher between that and the competitors.
So the event was broadcast around the world, and it was hosted in some major centers of Dubai, London, New York, and Toronto. We're all amongst the cities where they brought together large quotients of the mainly of the press and senior customers and developers were brought together, and so they had a fairly friendly audience, at least in Toronto, as you would expect in Toronto, just mere minutes away from the birthplace of RIM. And they started things off by talking and by actually addressing the fact that it's been a tough time for them for the last 3 or 4 years, that it's been a tough road, and they had some very difficult decisions to make. And then they honored both of the co-founders that have left by pointing out the areas of the new operating system that they had a significant influence. Which I thought was pretty classy.
Totally agree.
Yeah, and then we went to New York, and they broadcast most of the event from New York, and it was interesting to watch the uh, kind of the Canadianization, even though it was an American production, but the Canadianization of the Apple keynote as Torben Thorsen came and gave his talk. Not the most inspiring and dynamic individual, but the content kind of spoke for itself as we went through the entire presentation. So the end of the day, what we were facing is they surprised us with a few announcements. they completely shocked me with the when they came up out of the blue with saying that they're changing the name of the company from RIM to BlackBerry, which I guess makes a lot of sense, but it still surprised the heck out of me. But then they kind of got right into the culture of the phone and the operating system itself, and they did a very long and detailed demo of BlackBerry 10 and what it's all about. They had their product manager on stage who did, I thought, a stellar job. Paul, what did you think of that?
Absolutely excellent. You know, it gives you the I want to play with it kind of thinking. I, as soon as I saw some of the things that he did and the demos, I was going, you know, I sure want to try that out for myself. It just looks like a lot of fun, and that's an important part of it. It's got to be a fun device to use. People don't have a lot of patience for slow operating systems or difficult things. You know, they just want simplicity in their lives.
So they took the smartphone with their operating system, and they really, I don't think that they, the way that the other operating systems are done, I think if we put it against Android and against the iOS, I would say the Android operating system mimics the iOS in many ways and copies it and follows it down the same path and tries to be it in a lot of cases. They didn't do that at all with BlackBerry 10.
No, they basically started over, in my opinion. And, I mean, they used a little bit of the thinking that they put into their tablet, but they really started from the ground up and developed an operating system that would be unique and different than everybody else's, which I think was the right thing to do. It's not a Me Too device. You know, that's what I was thinking as I was listening to all of the information being presented. This is not a Me Too device. This is a whole new start.
So number one is, it all has to start understanding that the power of it comes from a true multitasking system. And Julian, what does that mean to us?
Truly multitasking is easily switching between your work and your home, because everybody's got all of their contacts, all of their photos, all merged into one. And I think with the sandboxing between the work and the home accounts, all through the hub, being able to switch back and forth, and having the back-end management that they're famous for, that companies have come to rely on, I think the ease of use and the security will allow people that have been traveling with one phone for home and one phone for work, I think it'll be a really big plus because they won't have to carry two phones anymore.
And this
they can have complete management.
This is, in my mind, probably the biggest feature that they brought out, and it's what they, and they've got little names, they've got little cute names for each of the stages, or each of the features, and this is called BlackBerry Balance, and so in essence, you have two tabs at the top of your phone when you start. You have a personal tab and a business tab, and they're unique environments, but they all work the same way. So the bottom line is, you can have all of your personal Gmail, your personal music, all of that stuff in one silo, while your work is in another silo, and they don't cross over. So the IT department gets all the security they want, and you get all the privacy you want of having your personal information parceled away from your work life. And so that, it does so much to address this bring your own device to work, the fact that our devices have become integral to our entire lives. RIM's done a really good job of understanding that and giving IT managers the first viable way of managing that effectively.
You know, you can't understate that. I've in my previous life seen how important that is to a lot of folks. The corporate information that's carried around by employees is really, really important to the IT department, the CIO. They don't want, you know, their information leaked out into the public. There's a lot of, you know, very, very important things that need to be kept secure. And this technology that RIM has developed really takes care of that. That and the back-end server that a lot of people haven't seen before. I've got one running myself, a BlackBerry Enterprise server. All this integration and simplicity of management of the device is exactly what the corporate world is looking for, and one of the big reasons for RIM's success in the past. So I think they've kept true to their roots in that respect, and that's a very good thing.
It's interesting what RIM, they didn't mention the competition at all. They mentioned the competition for BlackBerry 10 being computers, not being other mobility platforms. They consider that this is now a not a mobility platform, but a computing platform. This is where your life will live if they fulfill what they hope to do.
You know, that's an important point to make. I like the word smartphones when they came out, but I've always believed since we've moved into, you know, the past the palms and the early devices that were out there, that you're really carrying around a computer. And, you know, if you do look at the specs with a little bit of detail, you'll see just how much power you're carrying around. It really can do just about anything that a regular computer can do, albeit on a smaller screen. And so they're trying to make people, you know, realize that, hey, this is a device that really doesn't have any limits. There's just about anything you want to do able to be done on this device.
Now, at the core of one of the other kind of core principles of the BlackBerry 10 is the fact that it's multitasking from an operational standpoint as well. And they've got a series of little, and they don't want to call them tiles, and they don't want to call them icons. They want to call them active windows that are open on your home screen at all times. And they are live and functioning apps, even though they're in a tiny little screen. So if you have a weather app up and the weather changes and the temperature changes, it changes dynamically on the reflection on your screen. If you've got your email open in one of the tiles, as the email flows in, it will flow in. You'll see it flowing into that tile or that window. And so the net result, though, for the end user is this incredibly fast switching back and forth between the apps. And they call this BlackBerry Hub, where they've got basically everything all in the middle. But the magic of it, or the thing that I found sexiest, is something called Peak, which is, regardless of what application you're running, if you're running into a full-screen application, there's a gesture that you'll very quickly learn. It seems like it's going to be one of the basic gestures on the BlackBerry. You start your thumb at the bottom of the screen, just touching the bezel, slide it up, and then pull it to the right side just slightly, and it allows you to peek in behind whatever you're working with, because everything's running at the same time, and look at all of your messaging, all your message center. So any email, any tweets, any Facebook posts, anything that would end up in your message center, and they've done a nice job of combining the entire message center, is there. And they've stayed with one of the old tenets of the BlackBerry, which is the little flashing light telling you that you have mail or that you have a message to attend to, which is missing from the iPhone. I've always thought that was a big thing missing, is that you look at your phone, and if you could have 10,000 emails sitting in there, and the phone just goes until you turn it on or until you open your screen, you have no idea. With RIM, they've always let us know that there's a message in the inbox waiting for us. And so with this Peak, the power of those fully threaded multi-processing system allows us to just peek in. And I got to tell you, that really turned my crank.
I agree. It's, you know, the waiting for the little red light. I think it's a dopamine enhancer. It does something to your brain. So what they've done is they've made that whole experience incredibly simple, which is you know, universally appealing. Most people don't like technology that's hard to use. So they've taken that into account and designed the interface to be super, super simple and fast for you to take a quick look at things, which I think a lot of people are going to like.
Yeah. Now, Julian, you watched it online as it was going live, and you actually tweeted about, you were actually sending out tweets. What was from the early part of the talk, which we're talking about right now, what were people's responses to the first kind of feature sets and in the beginning of the entire presentation today?
Well, it started off with a bit of a kind of a quieter excitement, and then once they got into the details of how Peak works, how it integrates the different networks all at once, they highlighted it a little bit about that too. They were a lot of people were asking if it was coming out for tablets, because they were kind of touting it more for a computer platform than just for a phone. And the update for the playbook that they teased us about was the other one that a lot of people were questioning. But
yeah,
it all changes with the actual hands-on, because all the promises, all of the speed and all of the demos that they do are kind of in ideal circumstances. So the other one that I noticed was making a big, huge splash on social media was the availability of different apps. Their announcement of Skype coming was a big one, because that's always been a missing feature. And the new face-to-face on BlackBerry Messenger is a huge turnover, because that'll get a lot of people coming for their own equivalent to FaceTime. That's one that a lot of people switched in the early days. So those were the first ones that really got people honing in on it and tuning in a little bit more closely, thinking it was more exciting.
I'm glad you brought up the apps, because that's the next thing that I kind of want to dive into and talk about, is the extension of the ecosystem through the apps, which RIM did, or sorry, BlackBerry, I'm going to have to remember to say that now, BlackBerry did a really good job. The very, very first people that they thank is their development community. They understand the importance of having a viable ecosystem around the phone. And they launched with 70,000 apps out of the gate, which is, but the important ones we will talk about. We should take a quick break, and we're going to return with more of the launch of BlackBerry 10 right here on Dottotech.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Do you have a comment or question for Dottotech? Visit our website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. Dottotech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
It's a big day in Canadian technology as RIM, the company formerly known as RIM, but now known as BlackBerry, launched their much-anticipated BlackBerry 10. This is a watershed moment for our friends in Waterloo. It will be either it'll be either the beginning of a new chapter in RIM's success, or it's the time that they weren't able to step up to the plate enough, and would be the continuation of their demise. Now, interesting, the stock market dropped a few points on it, which surprised the heck out of me, because I thought overall that they hit all of the key points that we're looking for. I can't imagine them doing a better job, unless perhaps they had the keyboard enhanced version ready to release at the same time and managed to knock another $50 off the price or something. But you know, from all practical standpoints, you know, I thought that they basically got full marks from me on almost every aspect. Now, just before the break, Julian Saunders, in talking to us from Saskatchewan, was bringing up the fact that they announced the BlackBerry 10 with 70,000 apps available in the BlackBerry store right off the get-go, which is a reasonably good number. It's dwarfed by, of course, the Google Play and Apple Ice, the iTunes Store, which has somewhere around 700,000 in each of those. But really, how many apps can you have on your phones? As long as and everybody's looking for those big players, those main ones, to be there, and most of them were right out of the gate. They had certainly the Facebooks and the LinkedIns. I looked in very closely and was excited to see that my favorite app was there. That Evernote was there, and actually, did you guys notice Evernote is integrated into the operating system with a feature that they've got. Did you guys notice that?
I did not.
Okay.
I did, yeah. Maybe it'll work with the Sky Smart Pen.
Yeah. Well, actually, they've got this thing called Reminders, which is Remember, which is their kind of to-do list, and it integrates Evernote directly into it. So you can do your own to-do items within the BlackBerry ecosystem. But I signed up. I should spill the beans. They gave me one. So I have a BlackBerry 10 sitting in my hand right now, and I'm playing with it as we speak. And I'll talk about the aesthetics of it in a moment. But within this Remember feature, which is an app in the BlackBerry operating system, I was able to sync it just as you would with an email client. I was able to just sign in with my Evernote account, and it brought down all of my Evernote content, and it's syncing on the fly with my Evernote in the cloud. So they have done a spectacular job of integrating Evernote with the BlackBerry 10. What apps did you notice, Paul?
You know, I was more paying attention to just the whole experience and the fact that the apps that they do have. Things like Facebook and Twitter, and you know, we talked about the peak before at the hub. The capability for all that stuff to come to you without you having to jump into those apps got me excited. You don't have to keep switching apps to go and take a look at things that are important to you, and I think people are going to really like that. So it's not just the simple individual apps; it's the integration of those apps into a space where you can easily take a look at what's going on, and you don't have to jump around a whole lot. You know, again, back to this simplicity mindset.
that is certainly a beautiful part of the equation. That's all part of that multitasking that we were talking about. But I did pay very close attention as the apps were announced. You know, there's a few glaring omissions. YouTube wasn't there. Surprise, surprise, coming from Google. And I don't think, and neither was Netflix. But those are kind of fringe apps as far as, you know, most business use is concerned. The fact that Evernote was there, the fact that LinkedIn was there, they had Dropbox, they had Box, they had, Julian, help me out here.
Documents to Go.
Docs to Go, yeah.
Yeah, let me see if I can find a quick list. I'm doing a search of BB10 apps.
They also have a big partnership with a lot of media outlets, so a lot of the financial and other business news is integrated right into.
Yes,
there'll be a lot of apps at the front end from big magazines and newspapers, so you won't have to consider switching from BlackBerry out to a different tablet, perhaps.
Although Flipboard wasn't there. Which is for Mac user or for I tablet users on the iOS platform. That was a big mistake. That was a big missing one. But you did, and you pointed out Skype before the break, I believe, which actually caused an audible response within the room that I was in.
Yeah, that one alone is a big one for a lot of people, especially with it integrated into the Office 365 suites. It's a big plus.
Yes, absolutely. Now I'm also looking down the list. Kindle was there, which I thought was a big deal, and the one that I Songza, which is my new favorite music streaming service, was there.
Love it.
Yeah, and so it's art chimes in.
Well, my question here, Steve, is it sounds like just to the not so technically sound as you three, that the BlackBerry is really just caught up to where the iPhone, like 4S, 5 is at. So say if somebody's got like an iPhone 3S, iPhone 4, and it's time for them to upgrade, if they're not super crazy tech savvy and all their friends have the iPhone, what's going to be the one or two things that they're going to switch over to BlackBerry for?
Okay, I think I can talk to that pretty well since I'm the only one sitting here with one in my hand. It doesn't take a second place to the iPhone 5 as far as its fit and finish and form. Here is the thing, and I was going to leave this for the last section as we kind of summed up, but here is the thing. I believe there's iPhone fatigue in the marketplace. I believe people are being tired of being told how to do things. Even though they do things excellently, they're being told of how they have to hold their phone and how they have to think in order to work in the iOS world. They're tired of having to figure out workarounds in order to get files onto their phone. They're tired of being treated that way. And much of that world doesn't want the Wild West of Android. The BlackBerry 10 strikes, in my mind, what's going to be a medium between the two. I'm not sure it's going to be a happy medium. I can pop the back of the case off my BlackBerry 10 here and take the battery out and swap it out. That alone, iPhone users are going, oh, I wish I could do that. I just wish I could do that. I can, and it has an SD memory card slot. So it only comes with 16 gig of RAM out of the gate, but they don't charge me a ton more to get a 64 gig. I just pop a 64 gig SD card, which costs almost nothing in, and now I've got, what is that? I've got like 80 or 90 gig of storage space.
And you can swap it. So you can put movies on one and you know something else on something else, right? So
yes, those things.
And balance too.
Sorry, Julian.
The BlackBerry Balance has support for the cards, so you can have a work card and a home card.
Oh, very good. I didn't even know that. I've already done this. I took my BlackBerry, I plugged it into my Mac. My Mac said, "Oh, you got a BlackBerry installed. Should I install the BlackBerry management software?" I said, "Yes." And then guess what happened? I could see my folder structure. I could drag it. It would sync my documents. I can drag a document from one into the other, or a photo from one into the other, or a movie from one into the other. That kind of control isn't there for the iOS. So for the person who it has a long in the tooth, I don't think an iPhone 5 or 4S user is going to consider buying BlackBerry at this point here. But you know, unless they were just so passionate about BlackBerry in the past that they just couldn't wait to come back. But the person who has a long in the tooth BlackBerry or a long in the tooth Android, what are the benefits? What are the things that are going to draw them back? A, if they like the if they like the BlackBerry Mail and the BlackBerry and the security of the BlackBerry, and they like the and they miss BlackBerry Messenger because they still have many, many friends that are on BlackBerry Messenger, if they pine for the old days of BlackBerry, they'll come back. I think that there's a good reason for them to come back because they don't lose that much. If they aren't integrated, if they don't have an integrated system that is all about all Apple all the time, and they have their iPhone and their iCloud and their iPad and their iMac and their iLife. If they don't, if you're not that deep in the water with Apple, then what are you missing? You know, you've got tunes, you've got songs that are running on the BlackBerry 10 right out of the gate. You've got your music. You know, you can watch videos, and we know other video applications will come down the pipe. There's a Kindle book reader already. The screen is, as far as you can tell, just as good. They don't have as sophisticated a voice system as Siri, but I can still hit the button, say, text Art Factora, message, what time are we taping next week, and it'll send the text. And, you know, I don't have to type it in. So there's anybody, at the beginning at least, anybody who was a BlackBerry fan and has been hoping they could come back, I think RIM has given them a good enough reason to come back. The question will be whether or not, as people make new decisions, it's going to be good enough to win over their hearts and minds from the beginning.
So this will keep BlackBerry users who are looking to get a new one in the family. It won't necessarily convince anyone. Well, not it won't convince the masses that this is the new it phone. Is that what you're kind of?
I don't know. Does it have a chance?
Is it right now,
when I look at it, I'd say it's a cooler phone than the iPhone 5.
Wow.
Do you agree, Paul?
Yeah, it is. And for the reasons you described, and really, it's the user experience. You know, watching all those gestures happen, it'll take you a little while to learn them all, but there's no buttons. It's just moving your fingers around on the screen. And as they talked about, just using your thumb to move around very, very quickly and simply between different things. It's dead stone simple. Thorsten really made a point of that, you know, simple elegance. I noticed he said it probably 10 times at the very least about, you know, the mindset of keeping it super, super simple for people. So that's very attractive to people that are somewhat uncomfortable with technology. Is people don't want to have stuff that's hard to use. They want stuff that's fast and easy, and this is what this new device is all about.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. What about, Julian, you think it's a cooler phone than the iPhone right now?
Right now, definitely, especially the way it merges. You don't have to worry about opening and closing apps all the time. It makes it very slick to switch back and forth. You don't have to switch between different accounts, so you don't have to worry about somebody sending you different messages and switching in and out of different apps that are flying up at you, notifying you, them all being in one place. You can quickly and easily keep in touch with everybody very efficiently without spending a lot of time worrying about how it's happening, just worrying about where the message is going.
Mm-hmm.
Love how it links the calendar with LinkedIn as you're scheduling a meeting. It can pull up details of the company and who you're
yes.
meeting and who they're associated with. Stuff like that is a huge time saver when you're dealing with it for even for personal. When you've got people on Facebook, you can see who's friends of friends already. So it can really save a lot of confusion and a lot of scheduling issues. So
now,
for a lot of people,
calendar and contact area. I'm glad you brought that up, Julian. In the calendar and contact area, what they've done is I really liked what Microsoft did with their People Hub, where they would pull all of the different social feeds from a person together and give you a concise look as you're scheduling a meeting with somebody or whenever you call up their address card. It would show you all the information about them. They have done that in spades with BlackBerry 10, where, as you say, if you and I have if we were using this system to book our show next week and you were a guest on the show and I looked at you because we have an appointment, it would give me all your latest tweets. I would see what you're working on. I'd see your latest Facebook posts. I would see all of the different things that you're working on. And then, as you say, it would tie into LinkedIn. I could dive into a little bit more information about London Drugs, find out what was going on there. Sorry, Paul, you're unemployed, so
retired.
But so you can dive in at all these different levels into this. That's really exciting. And a lot of the calendaring functionality, I was really excited to see what they did with the calendar. It's something that I haven't played with yet in the few hours I've had with it. But RIM did a really interesting thing about a year ago, is they bought a very cool product called TungleMe, which was a website that was a scheduling website. And it allowed you to create, allowed you to share, basically share your calendar, let people know your availability for meetings, and allow people from outside of your enterprise to book meetings with you. They didn't necessarily have to see what meetings you already had booked, but you could say, this time is available, this isn't, and it allowed people to ad hoc book a meeting. And it is very similar to what happens in an enterprise world with something like Outlook, where you can see your team members' time, and you can, you know, kind of schedule meetings for when you know people are available. But this was done in a Web 2.0 kind of cloud-based metaphor. So they took this TungleMe product, which was quite popular amongst a certain user group. They took all 12 developers from it, bought them, and then pulled them off the project, mothballed the project, and put them to work on the calendaring apps within BlackBerry 10. So I'm expecting that there's going to be some very pleasant surprises in there, because that was a bright team that they had working on it.
So before we go to a break here, Steve, people want to know, will you be able to play the latest version of Angry Birds on this new BlackBerry?
Indeed.
Yes.
That's, well, that's critical.
I mean, I think you just sold a couple of BlackBerries right there.
I think it's, yeah, is it a Disney version or something?
I don't know.
But it's, yeah, it's BlackBerry, the Angry Birds are there. And you know what? Nobody cared. Not in our group anyways. Not of the developers that were there. But I'm sure people do care that Angry Birds is there. Is that also your subtle way of telling me it's time for a break?
Something like that.
Okay, good stuff. We're going to take a quick break. I have Paul DeMera, I have Julian Sanders, I have Art Factor, and I have in my hand a BlackBerry 10. I'm Steve Dotto, and you're tuned in to Dotto Tech.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. You're listening to Dotto Tech, brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
We are exploring the new world of BlackBerry 10 with Paul DeMera and Julian Sanders, as we had, I'm in Toronto, Steve Dotto here in Toronto, for the launch of the BlackBerry 10 with 1,000 other people in the room, and at the end of the day, they gave us all brand new BlackBerries. Don't you wish you were here, Paul?
I do indeed.
You were tweeting this morning, Steve, that you were sitting among tech royalty.
I was. I just busted Mark Saltzman's chops by. We were sitting next to each other or behind, and I just said that I was sitting there, and he thought that was pretty funny. Yeah, there was something. But you know, some people consider me to be the tech royalty.
I do.
Well, yeah. Well,
same here.
Kind of an East Coast West Coast kind of competition.
No, there was no competition. I like. No.
You're the Biggie and Tupac of the tech world. That probably went over very many heads. But.
That's right. So let's talk about the device itself, because we've been talking about the experience, and they actually named the launch the BlackBerry Experience. But the device itself is pretty darn nice. It's a 4.3-inch color LCD color screen, which has about 392 pixels per inch. So it's a brilliant. It's a good looking display. I don't know. You know, if it's better than a Retina display or the AMOLED displays that we see on the Samsung, but I don't feel like I'd get tired of looking at this screen at all.
It's got a lot of pixels, and that means everything's going to be nice and sharp.
Yes.
You know, so I think it's probably somewhere around the equivalent of a 720p display, you know, from a high-definition point of view. So content that has a lot of detail is going to look good, including photographs.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And we should talk about the camera a little bit. The camera's resolution is up there.
Eight megapixels, Steve.
8 megapixel. There we go. But the software that they have is what's impressive. As you take a picture, it buffers, kind of like your PVR at home. It buffers the picture before and after and allows something called time shifting. So if you're taking a picture of a group and you've got, you know, three people and one person's always seemingly have their eyes closed in that instant of time, you can actually scale forwards and backwards within the photo before you save it through this feature called time shifting, which is pretty cool. It's got multiple zoom zones, similar to the iPhone, where you just tap on the area of the screen you want to zoom in or you want to focus on, multiple focus zones, so it does a good job of that, and a whole bunch of built-in filters. So it seems to have kind of all the Instagram filters, Instagram, of course, being another one of the notable missing apps from the device. As far as kind of ports in, it's got a little more accessibility than does the iPhone. It has an HDMI out port, which allows you to take video out from it, and it also has a micro USB port, which it uses for both charging and for data transfer. It's plugged in. It's got both a front and rear facing camera, of course, which is, as we were talking about, they have now added BlackBerry Video as a part of the BlackBerry Messenger suite of tools. So not only can you just text back and forth or instantly message back and forth with your friends through BlackBerry Messenger, which, for those of you who don't know, costs you no money on your plan, you can actually do video through the same system now. And they had the cojones to do that live from New York to London.
That was impressive.
That was impressive.
Yeah,
you can bet that there's a few people sweating through that entire process. But they it did a good job. I mean, it's basically about the same quality as you're going to get from FaceTime. So it's anybody who's used it knows that it isn't as good as you'd like, but it's better than what you had before. What else was there? Is there technically in the?
I was happy about the Wi-Fi. It's dual band ABGN, so you know it's got both bands. And as Wi-Fi gets more and more crowded, having that second frequency is a good thing. So stuff like that is, you know, they didn't you know cheap out on anything and miss stuff that would be useful going forward. That impressed me.
Okay, and
it's on par too, processor wise too. They didn't processor. It's a 1.5 gigahertz Snapdragon, just like in most of the competition. Especially all the new Windows and Android phones, so they're not using a different family of processors. Easy to
compare. Now, of course, Bluetooth is there. Now, the thing that is different from it's the Apple brethren is it does have NFC built in.
Yes.
So the near-field communications chip is built in. So there's all sorts of new options that can come with that. Of course, NFC will be very popular with payment systems, but what a lot of people don't realize is NFC can also impact our lives in other ways, because we can actually purchase NFC tags ourselves and program them to do different things. So you could set up your phone to, say, if you want to have Wi-Fi turned off all day long, but turn it on when you get home at night, you can just put one of these near-field communications tags somewhere near the door as you walk in the house and just tap your phone to it, and it'll turn on your Wi-Fi. So you've got those sorts of features that changes how we do things.
With NFC too, it's very easy to share a photo or a business card, like a digital business card too. You can securely tap the devices, and that even works between platforms. It's one of the features that's built into Windows 8, so a lot of the new Windows tablets that have NFC will be able to quickly transfer small amounts of data securely from a Z10, from a new BlackBerry.
Oh, really? So we'll be able to talk. It'll be able to transfer back and forth. That's interesting.
Sounds magical to me.
Yeah.
It's like wizardry.
The storage device, it should just be able to do almost anything. When you do the NFC, it should be able to do the BlackBerry Sync, too, without having to connect it with a cord if you have enough charge, if your computer supports NFC.
Okay.
It's listed on their site as a supported feature, so it'll be interesting to see once people that received the Z10 today, once they've played around a bit with it, how easy it is to sync and back it up.
Okay. So the hardware, you know, the phone itself is not going to is going to be as impressive as anything that Samsung and Apple are putting out, but it's not going to be more impressive because it's still just a little brick there of technology. RIM spent a fair bit of time. RIM. I should find me a quarter every time I do it, Art.
Okay.
BlackBerry spent a fair bit of time talking about their new keyboard, and that is, I was really pleased with the keyboard, the fact that they paid so much attention to the keyboard in this operating system, and so they've done two things with their keyboard, maybe more, but the key thing is they've designed it for one thumb typing. They think that people as they're walking around are always trying to enter data with one thumb. And so they've done something with their predictive text, which is, I guess, a combination of looking at character strings and looking at context. Because as you type on the keyboard, words start appearing randomly around the keyboard of that is the next logical word that BlackBerry thinks you might be wanting to say. And so if you're typing, I will come over and have, or do you want to have lunch tomorrow? As soon as I type, do you want... And then the word two will be on the screen, what you do is you just tap your thumb over it and flick it up, and you like toss it onto the page, and it pops in, and then there'll be the next word, next logical word. Do you want to? They'll put have, walk, do you want to be? Do you want to see? Do you want to go? You know, we think about what the next, there's only so many words that logically appear after that. And of course, you might deviate from that. But all those logical kind of top top-tier ones, they'll appear on the keyboard attached to letters, and you just grab and flick them up. And so as long as you're paying attention to your screen, you could probably get pretty darn fast typing fairly common things.
That would be ideal if it was still legal to text and drive. But it's not, so I wouldn't suggest anyone doing it.
Well played, sir.
Thank you.
I think it's ideal anyway. So some people are going to love that. The other thing that they've done is, and now I'm not positive that the size of that text is going to work for people like me. The text on the screen when it appears is pretty tiny. So it'll be interesting to see what group ends up using that a lot.
BlackBerry's actually got the normal text size that you can adjust it, and it's always been one of the things that they did well in their text is give you bigger text. So it'll be interesting to see if you can adjust those little small characters you're talking about on the keyboard.
And they've gone with the white letters on black background, so it feels like a BlackBerry keyboard. There's an audible tech as you touch a letter. And so the typing experience is pretty good. Now, what really surprised me was the improvement in the predictive text. If you, with a normal phone, said, I'm ill and I'll be late for work, a normal phone will have trouble with the word ill because it'll put an I'll. It'll put an apostrophe in because you don't often say the word ill. You could type that character string in, and so what would happen with autocorrect, it would be messed up for you. With the BlackBerry, you can type that character string. They've really upped the ante as far as predictive text and understanding context. And so that was pretty impressive. And they've taken that to another step, which, did you guys see the demo with the languages?
Yes, that was impressive.
That was wild.
You jumped from one language, like English to French to German, and just by just starting to type.
Yeah, he said, hi, my name is so-and-so, and I'll be your host today. And then his next language, je m'appelle Jean-François. And it switched over to French. All the predictive text appeared in French. The spell correction appeared in French. It was insane. I just looked, and I was agog at that.
That's something that's impossible on an iDevice, too.
Yes.
With app support, it's just not there. So for international travelers, that'll be a first. It'll be a very quick go-to feature.
Actually, even for folks back in Quebec, it's surprising, but it's really important to have French support in a device because a lot of folks don't speak English. So I can tell you that a lot of folks are going to just love that capability to jump between the two languages instantly in Quebec.
So the new keyboard, once again, RIM strength is in the keyboard, and they have honored that tradition with this keyboard. We're going to take one more break, and then we're going to return and wrap things up with the world of RIM and BlackBerry 10. I have Julian Saunders in Saskatchewan. I have Paul Damaris sitting there in Richmond. I'm Steve Dotto sitting in Toronto. We'll be right back with more of Dotto Tech in just a few seconds.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Do you have a comment or question for Dotto Tech? Visit our website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. Dotto Tech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
And Steve is sitting in Toronto on the phone and studio there in Richmond. We have Paul Damaro along with Art Factoria, and in Saskatchewan, Julian Saunders. And we all spent our day monitoring in various ways. Well, Art didn't. Monitoring in various ways the launch of BlackBerry 10. It's a big day for the company. We did pay lip service to this, but I was shocked when they said that we're changing the company's name from RIM to BlackBerry. I just think I can see why they're doing it, but here's my issue with it. You had these great little email addresses, steve@rim.com. Now you've got steve@blackberry.com. It just takes you that much longer to type in your email address. Those three-letter domains, they're golden.
That's a good point.
They probably didn't think about it too much. So we're kind of getting down into the minutiae of what we liked and what we didn't like. Paul, you told me that the file support, the number of different files types that the BlackBerry supports, You notice that.
More and more people bring along their device to watch movies on a plane or listen to music in their car or whatever. And what really impressed me was it doesn't just support MP3, WMA. It plays things like FLAC files, which, you know, are lossless audio files. They're big, but they sound awesome. And it does DivX, XVID. It's got H.263, 264 support. So unless I'm missing something, you should be able to play just about anything you already have as far as files go on your BlackBerry. And the neat thing, again, we've talked about with the memory card, you can just put them on the memory card and pop them in anytime you want. So that's a real plus for people that travel. They can just bring along a card and, you know, have whatever content they want with them, and it will play.
Mm.
Yeah.
Now, and as far as that goes, that brings us to the battery life, because if you are going to be playing these media files, the battery has to last, and that's my biggest problem with my iPhone 5 or 4S is the battery life. It doesn't last me a full day of work, but there's a chance that the BlackBerry 10 might last us a full day.
I've had a lot of experience with the BlackBerry products, pretty much owned all of them over the years, and that's one thing BlackBerry's always focused on is making sure that you get at least a day. Actually, the original BlackBerry I started with, it lasted a whole month on a AA battery. That was the original 950, if you couldn't believe it.
Right? Text one, yeah. the pager version.
Days gone by. But yeah, they've got, you know, this is geek speak, but they've got an 1800 milliamp hour battery in there, and that is a big, big lithium ion battery, plus the fact that you can swap it out, you know, have a spare ready to go if you want. So that gives you a lot of nice flexibility for people that are really, really heavy users.
So in their spec sheet, they say that you can have up to 11 hours of video playback, which tells me, and talk time is up to 10 hours. So you could literally be watching video and talking, the two biggest battery drains, from 9 in the morning till 7 at night, and you'd be okay.
I'd be highly surprised if this doesn't get you through the day without power to spare at the end of it.
That's a plus. I like that. I like that a lot. Julian, what was it? You wanted to talk about the we should talk to you about the pricing and availability, because it's not that far away.
No, February 5th for the launch, and it's unknown right now about total quantities, but you can pre-order on londondrugs.com. You can add your name to an email list, and we will do our best to get you one. On a three-year contract, it's going to be $149, available through Rogers and Telus initially, and unsubsidized. I believe the price is going to be $600 on a month-to-month through either of those carriers. So it's on par. It's far under an iPhone, especially at the full unsubsidized price, and it's on par with the other Android devices for cost. So look for other promos on it as well for different incentives depending on the availability.
And looking a little bit farther down the road at availability, the Q10, which is the keyboard enhanced version, and it's gonna have some real solid appeal. I don't know whether or not it's something that I would want, but it looked pretty good.
You're going to make a choice between a large screen and no keyboard, that's, you know, a virtual keyboard, and a keyboard and a smaller screen. But the screen is still touch screen on the Q version, so that's still very appealing, I think.
And the same gestures between all. So if you learn one system, you'll be able to pick up another.
Oh, as far as the operating system itself goes, yeah, it'll be fairly easy to transfer back and forth. You know what? I have to apologize. I made a mistake. I'm looking at the device right now, and look what's there, this big icon staring at me, a YouTube icon.
good to go.
I was so wrong. That's never happened before.
Well,
it's happened to me.
We can give it to you. It's the first day. It's okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm not quite down. I'm still kind of fumbling with the system itself. If you hear me kind of pausing occasionally, it's because I'm multitasking as I'm trying to figure out some things within the operating system itself. It's got it's got some of the logic of they've stolen a few. I said earlier that they went on there about it on their own, but they've stolen a few things. To get into your settings, you drag down from the top, sort of thing. So you've got a couple of those features. Well, let me just go into voice control. I haven't looked at the language and dictation. And, oh, you have to agree to it. So it's voice recognition, full voice recognition is for you can also set up for voice dialing only or for full voice recognition. You can hear voice feedback. Oh, you can have it hide offensive words. Interesting. I wonder if Apple is an offensive word. the BlackBerry in the BlackBerry world. And you can enable dictation, so it looks like it does a lot. It doesn't look like it, it obviously doesn't do the Wolfram Alpha stuff that Siri does as far as logical searches and stuff like that. But I don't really use it for all that for that much anyways. I do use it for a lot of dictation when I'm texting or emailing. I'm increasingly using dictation in both my Mac and my phone. So there is that about it. And they also have a built-in payment system where you can put in your PayPal or your credit card information, and hopefully it will remain secure in there until you send things out, until you want to pay things. It'll make it easier to pay for things, but I don't know how many people are going to entrust that sort of information to their phone.
Maybe Julian can help me with this, too. I think they one website I was looking at, it comes in two colors, black and white. Is that
right, yeah,
confirmed as well?
Available in black initially, and the white will come right after.
Yeah, they only gave us black ones today.
Right.
Both the Q10 and the Zed will have both black and white available.
Would that be referred to as a Whiteberry? I'm just entertaining Paul here at this point.
He's doing a good job.
I'm sorry.
So that brings us kind of to the push comes to shove moment of the show. Julian, what phone do you have in your pocket right now?
I have an iPhone 5.
Okay, so it's fairly new. Are you going to consider switching? Are you going to consider switching in 3 years? Or are you just going to be jealous of the BlackBerry users? Or are you just happy? You think that you're doing just as well with the iPhone?
Well, the unsubsidized price actually makes me want to, after getting my hands on one, possibly switch over for the security. And most of my life on my phone, other than texting and voice, is a lot of email and social network. And the BlackBerry Hub has always really appealed to me because it can be one great place for all of your messages. So make sure that you don't miss a beat. You can check it very quickly. So I'm definitely able to be convinced at the rate that they're going. The lack of a couple of key apps.
If you were at the event today and you had been given one, you would have been one of the ones that had torn that SIM out of the iPhone, popped it in the BlackBerry.
Definitely.
Okay. Interesting. Interesting. Paul, you owner of many phones.
Yeah, I've got a lot of iOS ecosystem devices, but I'm also very open-minded when it comes to devices, and I truly am impressed. So right off the bat, this new device gets the Paul DeMera gold stamp of approval, and that's not easy to get, I'll tell you right now.
not if you're not analog audio device.
No, that's another conversation. But yeah, no, I would certainly consider buying one for sure, absolutely. I'm very impressed with what I saw.
Yeah. I still need to keep an iOS device for my presentation stuff because of the way that I do my seminars and stuff like that. But if I didn't have that, I would be I'm almost at the tipping point that I would give it a shot. Part of that's nationalism. I want RIM to do well. And part of that is also just ongoing frustration with Apple's arrogance. You know, the fact that they continuously treat us with such a high-handed nature. And part of that is frustration with Google never finishing anything. In the Android world, that is always just mostly there. So I think we started at this time a year ago, I think we were universal in our thought that we were seeing the last days of RIM. It was almost exactly a year ago that Thorsten Heinz took over in the job as CEO. And if we remember the dark days that followed, we saw a company that was spinning out of control. We thought their stock was plummeting into oblivion. And there was, you know, the rats were deserting the sinking ship. In the year that's passed, they've just stayed the course and done a good job of getting developers online. Done a good job of building a hardware platform and a really imagine they must have really created a great buffer between their development team and the negativism that was floating around, because I see none of that in the product that's hitting the store shelves on February the 5th here in Canada. It's a good looking product. Now all that'll be lost if it turns out that it crashes all the time and it doesn't perform as advertised. But if it performs the way that they showed it to us today, I think we can pretty much be sure that RIM is going to be a contender. And in my mind, they haven't, you know, they're in the middle of the conversation. I think they might have the coolest phone on the market today, and that is something.
Wow. Nobody really. I rarely hear people use the words BlackBerry and cool in the same sentence. This might be it. This might be the change.
But it was. It used to be cool. I can remember when the first BlackBerry, when we had our first BlackBerry handsets. What was the model, Paul? You will remember it. The first one, which was.
There was 7200 series. I mean, I started with a 950, but.
And I would have it. I would be sitting in an airport lounge, and people would come up to me and look at me and talk to me about it. And then two BlackBerry users, and then it got to the point where if there's two other BlackBerry users in the lounge, we would look at each other and we would nod. We were in the special club.
Yeah.
It used to be the coolest thing on the planet.
Well, that was that and, back when people were still using flip phones.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then that's fair.
But just a minute, Art. When I started doing this radio show, who had a flip phone?
That's what I'm saying. I did never claim to be the coolest phone guy until I got my iPhone 4S. But now look at me. I'm one step behind again.
Okay. Are we out of time now, Art? Should I start wrapping things up?
Let's wrap it up.
Okay. So I need to thank Julian Saunders in Saskatchewan from London Drugs. I need to thank Paul DeMera there in Richmond and you. Next week on the show, we are going to be talking with Mike Vardy. He's down at Macworld. So we're going to be eating crow. We're going to be looking at some of the Apple stuff when he gets back. But I'm sure we'll be doing a lot more on BlackBerry, the BlackBerry 10 next week as well, because I will have had time to play with it. And I'm sure Paul will have had time to come over and have coffee and borrow it and accidentally slip it in his pocket and take it away and play with it for a few days himself.
There you go.
So we'll all have a good picture.
Is this going to change? Is this going to change App Wednesdays?
It's still apps. Still all about
no,
apps.
But I'm saying
you
now.
Might hear, you might hear we're talking about whether or not
BlackBerry
talk about whether or not they're available in Android or not. It might mix the skew for anybody who's carrying around a BlackBerry. They might be just talking about the BlackBerry apps. But we'll still be doing App Wednesday. You don't have to worry. Your favorite part of the week is still there, Art.
All right.
Okay. With all of that, thanks so much for tuning in. Thanks to my guests. Thanks to Art Factor for doing yeoman service in coordinating this extraordinary version of Dotto Tech with Dotto on the road in a hotel room in Toronto. We will see you next time right here, and I'll be back in Richmond then. I'm Steve Dotto. Thanks for listening.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.